Hi, you're welcome to another episode of Grow with Matilda. How have you been? It was my birthday some days ago. Yeah, and I watched a documentary by Kirk Franklin and I cried. So while I replied messages and, you know, checked status updates and the different things that I did and did not do on my birthday, I pulled out my retina out of his sockets. Kirk talked about, you know, how he met his dad for the first time at the age of 53 and how he had to go through different things because he didn't have a dad. Funny how this man, that is his dad, had been so close to him such that they had met on, you know, different occasions and neither of them knew that they were related in any way. Now, the interesting part of this story is that his own mom, that is Kirk's mom, refused to admit that the man is his dad. She denied till the end and said, no, that's not your dad. And DNA showed otherwise. Like, bro, what is wrong? After I watched it, I knew that the Lord directed me to watch that particular video. And it's because he has been nudging me for a while now. Like, we've been having constant battles. I don't know why he wants me to talk about the topic of fatherhood. I pray that whoever this is for would receive healing. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this podcast over and minister to you through me. Okay, so something that, you know, in the process of trying to research, to understand the whole concept of fatherhood, something I understood was that the plan all along was fatherhood. That was the plan. It was not even for him to be Lord and Savior. That Lord and Savior came about after we sinned and needed to do a form of restitution and to restore us. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do and it gave him great pleasure. He wanted intimacy. He wanted relationship. He wanted family. But sin came and drove a wedge between father and child. We got lost. We no longer saw ourselves as his children. The devil took advantage of our shame and our unwillingness to admit our wrong. He made us feel like our father hated us, or our father hates us, as the case may be. He repented Psalms 5, where the Bible says that, for you know a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. That made us feel like, yes, God hates you. He hates sin, so it means that he cannot behold you. Yes, God hates sin, but he loves us. He wants us to get restored back to him. And you know the funny thing is that the devil also desires to be dad. He's referred to as the father of all liars. He wants as many children as he can steal from God. Don't you know? He wants as many children as he can steal from God. I know how I battled with thoughts of how God didn't like me anymore because of my sins. Oh yes, I did. I used to think God hated me. I used to think that God didn't want to have anything to do with me because I was sinning sins. I could not reconcile the fact that a God as righteous as God, a God as holy as God is, would want to associate himself with me as filthy as I was. I never allowed myself to believe the fact that God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think I need to dwell on that a little bit. Let that marinate a bit. God sees you, he knows what you're doing. He's omnipresent. and is omniscient. It means that he's everywhere and he knows everything. So all this, I'm hiding, I'm doing whatever, that one go doesn't cut it. He knows, he sees, but it won't force you. I know that for sure. I've learned that. It would never force you. It wouldn't come and say, okay, you have to. No, it won't do that. He wants you to admit by yourself that, Daddy, I did this and I'm sorry. He's that dad that rises the sun in the morning so he can have a good look at you and smile. He's that dad that is proud of you and all that you are. Now imagine a father so full of love for his child and would do anything for that child. Now imagine that man's child now being afraid around him. Imagine that child tiptoeing around him. Imagine that child even thinking that, oh, because I broke the cup yesterday means that my daddy wants to kill me. No, it means that my dad no longer wants to have anything to do with me. Baby, I gave birth to you. I love you. No amount of whatever it is that you do or don't do would make me stop loving you. I hear that. I feel like that's what God is trying to tell someone today. Yes, you did all the things you did. So, do you think it doesn't know? Do you think it doesn't see? Do you think he's willing to let go of you because of what you've done? Would you do the same thing to your child? So because your child did what, you'd say, oh, you're no longer my child. Is that how it works? Come on. Now, Daddy, God is saying, come to me. I love you. I don't even need you to clean yourself up. Let us do this together. You cannot. Okay, try. Now that you have tried. Or let's see you try. Try to put yourself together. Try to piece yourself together. How did that go? I remember when I rededicated my life to Christ in 2021. I said, I have tried to live this life the way that I felt was best and it is not working. I have tried to put myself together and it's not working. It did not work. It cannot work. It is not working. Because was I the one that gave it to myself? Was I the one that created myself? Now I told him, I'm giving this life back to you. Do with it whatever you please. I said I must not fail. Because if I fail, if it goes wrong, it means that you're failed. And I've never heard anyone say that you fail. So as long as you don't fail, as long as you would never fail, it means that I'm fine, I'm safe. But I understand that not a lot of us have been able to trust God. Not a lot of us trust God right now. And I know, I understand, but he's also still saying that, trust me, believe me, it's okay, just rest. I don't have any expectations. I just need you to rely on me, to allow me take over. Just stay here. You don't need to do anything. He is dad. Now, this sounds really sweet. This sounds like something that is desirable. I mean, who would not want this? Who in their right senses would not want this? I did not. I also realized that a lot of people are not used to this. I am not used to this. I am used to doing things my own self, my way. I am not used to considering how one God thinks about, I want to go out. What is God thinking? That wasn't me. I wanted to go out. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And I did it regardless of whatever. But now, imagine moving from that person to now giving yourself all up to God, like, okay, I give myself to you. Do you know how scary that is? Imagine that. Do you know how scary it is to give yourself up, to be fathered by a God you cannot see? Especially when the father that you have on earth is not, or has not done a good job at fathering you. I used to, and I still struggle with allowing myself to be parented by God. And this, of course, is because my earthly dad, I used to be really, 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 really mad at him. But now I understand that he's only just human too. He's only just human. I don't think anyone would wake up one day and be like, okay, I want to be this kind of person. I want to, I've learned to make excuses for people. Some of us have never, you know, said things like, Dad, I am sad. Dad, I'm tired. Dad, what do you think of this person? Dad, what is your take on this? Dad, I didn't perform as well as I expected or as I hoped. Daddy, what do you think of this guy? Daddy, I think I like this person, but he's in a relationship with someone else. Dad, what are your plans for me? Daddy, when am I going to meet my man? Daddy, I don't trust you at this moment. Please help my unbelief. Please help my faith. Daddy, what are you thinking of? Daddy, who do you want to bless today? Some of us are unable to say things like that because we don't have that kind of relationship with our earthly dads. And I understand. For me, my dad not knowing how to love or express his love made it difficult for me to express love the way love is supposed to be expressed. It made me not know how to recognize it. It made me not know what it's supposed to even look like. It made me scared to receive it. It made me look for it but not identify it. It made me search for it in the wrong places. It made me who I am. I felt I knew that void needed to be filled, but then I was searching in the wrong places. I confused it for the barest minimum. I saw it in every elongated conversation. I saw it in every care. I saw it in the extra stare. Because I had been conditioned to work for it. I had been conditioned to work, you know, work for people to stay in my life. It made me become a people pleaser. Remember when I was younger, I felt like the only way to make my dad happy, because that was what was expressed, that was what I got. The way to make my dad happy was to, you know, keep coming with the good grades, because I felt like that was the only thing that made that man smile at me. When he saw my report card, he was, oh, okay. So I felt like I constantly needed to strive to be the best to make my dad happy. It made me believe and think that for people to stay in my life, I needed to keep doing things to make them happy, not necessarily considering myself and how I felt. I always wanted people to like me because I didn't want to feel like I was being left or abandoned. I used to go out of my way to please people, to make them happy, because I needed them to be so comfortable that they would not think of leaving. I constantly sought, still seek. Sometimes I get help here and there. I remember that God loves me. Some other times I don't remember like that, and I constantly seek validation. God is working on that. I constantly feared that people would up and leave. I wanted a dad so bad. Or at least something that looked like it. A father figure. Just be a figure. I asked on my WhatsApp status update the other day about people and, you know, if they had ever hugged their dads, and some people said, oh yes, I hug my dad every day, oh, my dad is the best. And I was like, okay. But some other person said, oh no, that made me and helped me realize that this is not just peculiar to me. I then realized that as much as we badly want a dad, the devil also wants to have children. I realized that the devil will do anything and everything to destroy the home. He will do everything he can do to hinder the transfer of God's seed. Now, I learned recently that fathers are the custodians. I want to drink water. I learned recently that fathers are the custodians of God's seed. And, you know, the devil has been poking holes there because he knows that that should not happen. He doesn't want that transfer to happen. That's why he does all he can to ensure that men don't stay in the house. They don't have good relationships with their wives, with their children. They're always busy trying to provide while losing sight of what really is important. Intimacy, relationship with their family. Because of this, a lot of us have never heard our dad say things like, "Sweetheart, you look beautiful." Oh, I would kill to hear that. My love, you don't have to settle for less than you. You don't have to settle for how you're being treated. I love you more than you know. I love you more than everything in this world combined. Hey, come here. I want to show you something. Some of us have never heard things like, "Everything I do, my baby, I do it for you." Or things like, "What do you need, baby? How can I help you, darling? What's the matter with you? You look sad. Come, sit on my laps. You seem like you need a hug. Come here, let me hug you. I am so proud of you. You did an amazing job. You got this." Some of us have never heard our father say things like, "I love you." If this is you, I want you to imagine, you probably would never hear it, and I am sorry, but I want you to imagine your dad, your actual dad, say that to you. "I am proud of you. You are beautiful. You are amazing. You are loved. You're doing a good job. And I'm throwing a million hugs your way. Okay? Don't worry." So whenever I see these things on social media or sometimes in real life, I have just one of two responses, or sometimes both. First, I get really emotional, I cry. Two, I get really angry and think it's all a facade. More often than not, I react with two, because I'm like, what is wrong with you people? There was one day, I served in Ibadan, and before I got my own place, I stayed with a friend of mine, and the family looked like it was perfect, and I knew that wasn't possible. I knew that wasn't true, because how is your family that perfect? Your daddy knows so much about you. You sleep in your dad's bed. Like, I was just bewildered. I was so angry. I was actually very angry. I didn't want to see it. I texted a friend of mine. I was just complaining bitterly that these people, I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know why they're just trying to show off, or they're even I think I said that they're painting a picture of perfect when they're not perfect, because I'm here. You don't have to pretend. God is telling us that being a savior is a role that he took out of fatherhood. He provided a way to stay close to us forever. The enemy keeps lying. You keep doing all the thing that he can do to keep, us from sonship. He has tried so hard to keep us in fear, but the Bible says that, "But as many as believed him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." So to get this right to become God's child, all you need to do is believe. Just believe. And you take it over. The Bible says that you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. It's okay that you were scared before. It's okay that you're even, you know, enslaved. It's okay that you were in sin before. That is why you have a savior. But now we have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Bible says that we are no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear, to sin too. I am a child of God. That's who you are. Excuse the voice. It's a child of God. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing he asked was not, oh, what have you done? Oh, what did you do? What he did was, where are you? What he said was, where are you? He still sought after them. He provided a chance for repentance. He gave room. He gave room for them to fix and adjust their position. That is the Father that we have. And that same Father, that same God wants you back home. He wants you, even if, like, he wants you home first. That's for those of us that, you know, we never saw him as dad. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to adopt you. I want you to be my brother and my sister. At the same time, if, like the prodigal child, you've lost your way, it is okay. I mean, these things happen, you understand. It is not you he hates. It is not you he hates. It is your sin. So I don't want you to keep allowing the devil to lie to you. He's asking me to tell you that he has been calling on you. He says to tell you that he doesn't want you to do the cleaning. Allow him to do it for you. He says to tell you that he doesn't need you to be perfect. That is why he is daddy. Let him be the perfect one and you be the imperfect one. He'll teach you how to go. So there's this song that I listened to, or that was sung in church on Sunday. He walked where I walk. He stood where I stand. I mean, before it used to be like a, you know, really nice song to vibe to. Na, na, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. You know, everyone is dancing somehow, and Emmanuel, I for the first time, you know, since I've ever listened and sang that song, I listened to the lyrics and it made sense. Emmanuel means God is with us. If God is with us, it means that he's aware of our situation. Now, it's not even just that he was here on earth. It's been through the different situations that you've been through. Think about anything that you've been through and imagine God in that situation too. I don't know what situation it is that Jesus Christ in office as, you know, as man on earth. He's been disappointed, he's been sad, he's been broke, and I believe he's been hungry, he's cried, he's done different things, he's been tempted, he's been... Okay, what else? Bible says that we don't even have a great high priest that cannot sympathize with us. So it means that he knows how imperfect we are. That is why he's telling us, don't even try to do the clean up. I can do it. Let me do it. It's just like you wanting to go shower and say that, oh, before I go get cleaned up in the shower, let me wash myself first before I enter the shower. What's the point then? Do you understand? You trying to fix yourself up removes the point. The thing is that you can't even do it in the first place, right? And now you trying to do it is you creating more mess, and you now then still postponing the day of restoration. When I decided to rededicate my life to Christ in 2021, I said, I have tried I've lived this life. I've tried to also fix myself up and nothing is working. Please take me over. Please take over my life. I give everything back to you. I give it. I'm not even going to try at all. I'm not going to try to do anything by myself. Just do it. Just take my life over. I'm not going to take it back from you. Even though, yes, there have been times where I disbelieved. There have been times where I told him, okay, let me handle this one. You don't worry about it. I can handle this one. Yeah, there have been times like that. But what I decided to do was to just give it. See, take it. I don't want to try, because I have tried, and where did he lead me? He is daddy. That is why he is daddy. Imagine going out with your dad and you're telling him, daddy, don't worry, I'll pay. I'm sure the man will look at you like, what's all this on? He needs you to be daddy. He wants to know you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. You don't even have to know how to, you know, to go about it, to do this. You don't have to know how to. I understand that you probably don't even know how to be a child because of situations here on earth. You don't have to have the right words. I understand that you are pained. I understand that you probably do not trust him. He understands this too. He knows this, and he will teach you how. But he won't do this until you permit him. So if you do not mind, I want you to say this with me. Hey, daddy. I'll say that again. Hey, daddy, help me. I don't know how to go about this. But I am willing to trust you. I am willing to learn. Teach me how to be a child. Teach me how to be your child. I have sinned and I have done a lot of things that I felt were right. I am sorry. Change me. Renew me. Transform me and reveal your love to me. Also, I need you to help my heart to heal. Heal my heart. Take care of me. I love you. Thank you so much for saying that prayer with me. I don't know if you did. If you did not, I want you to go back and say it. And also, so this applies to everyone. I mean, we are doing this together. Thank you for. I honestly do pray that this podcast, this particular episode, blesses you. I pray that the Lord Almighty would minister to you. I pray that he would come through for you. He would help you to be a child. He would teach you what to do. He would help you know what to do at the right time. I'm happy to have you join us in the kingdom. Also, something that I learned from a brother of mine is that you can also tell God to tell you that he loves you every day. I tried it. And yes, it works. He can tell you himself, like, some people are gifted, you know, differently. Some people are gifted with the gift of dreams. Some people can actually hear God. So he could tell you, I love you. Or like, I love you. Or he could tell people to tell you. Or through different situations or whatever it is they are reading, it could just pop out to you. And imagine how beautiful that is. Imagine how beautiful. I pray that there is nothing broken and there is nothing missing. I love you. Bye.